Welcome to the Bullets and Bourbon Podcast, where it's not about the bourbon, but more about who you share it with.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Bullets and Bourbon Podcast with your host, Jason, that's me, and my brother from another mother, Dan Taylor. Want to thank you guys for tuning in. This is our initial podcast and a little bit about Bullets and Bourbon. We're a bunch of guys, vets, who just really love whiskey, all types, bourbon, scotch, rye, you name it, we drink it. We're here to have fun, talk about whatever. We're super authentic, and we shoot from the hip. So we are what we are. We try to keep it real, and we hope to keep you entertained as much as we keep ourselves entertained after we have a couple of beverages inside our system. So get down to it. Dan, what are you drinking tonight? What's in your cup?
Tonight, you're going to laugh. But it's my go-to. I'm drinking the chicken cock. And it's not just the regular chicken cock. It's the chicken cock Kentucky straight rye whiskey.
So why do you like the cock?
I like the chicken cock for a simple reason. It doesn't matter if you have the rye, the double oak. It has that pepper taste. It's smooth. Not too much of a burn. It's enjoyable. It's my everyday go-to pour.
Easy sip.
Easy sip. Enjoyable.
Well, I mean, that's what whiskey should be. Should be enjoyable. Should be easy. I had the pleasure tonight of cracking a brand new bottle, from Nashville Barrel Company that was gifted to us by Daryl's Proof, which is a couple guys that really do some cool stuff. They do barrel picks. They design cases. They design glasses. They really do some interesting, just a whole bunch of stuff. And ran into them, got to meet them not long ago, and got this single barrel cash strength bourbon, checks in at 130 proof, so it's a tongue puncher. This one is called The Extra Inch Matters. Go figure, right?
So you would need that extra inch, right?
Okay, right. So here we go. So it does matter. Yes, that extra inch does matter. This is a surprisingly really good pick. It's a 7-year-old. It's got a great nose on it, just dark, deep, oaky notes, caramel notes on the nose. The palate's punchy. It's flavor forward. It's got a lot of caramel, some deep, dark, earthy, leathery notes, a lot of vanilla, probably some currant of some type. Not much citrus in it, but it really does. It's enjoyable on the palate. And my favorite thing, and kind of what I judge a lot of whiskeys by, but especially a bourbon, is the finish, and this one has a particularly nice Kentucky hug. And so, to be up front, Kentucky hug, not a lot of people may know what that is, but it's just how it finishes. If you take a sip of any whiskey and then you breathe in deep afterwards, that burn you get, that's the hug. And I think the more you walk into the world of whiskey, the more you appreciate a robust whiskey that finishes nicely and leaves you warm. I know at first you don't. I mean, you didn't.
I didn't at all. I only got into whiskey bourbon a few years ago. That was pure accident. I was dating this doctor. We were going out to these fancy places to eat, and I couldn't order a Bud Light or Natty Light or anything like that.
No PBR.
Or no PBR. No Zima. Rum. No rum and cokes, I had to class it up just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
My first bourbon actually was a Old Forester on the rocks. I liked the name at the time, and it turned out to be a pretty good bourbon. And ever since then, it's been bourbon, no beer, and just enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's. I don't think anybody just purposely just wakes up one day and says, hey, I'm going to go and just jump into bourbon. Usually we kind of get led into it by something, either a social setting or you ain't got no money, but there's a bottle of whiskey laying around. So you crack it open and get into it. So my story probably dates back farther. I was an old Number 7 fan as a kid.
God, that shit makes me want to puke from all the time in college.
Yeah,
way too much. Jack.
I know, and the argument, right, that the never-ending argument is Jack Daniel's a bourbon, and we're not going to jump into that podcast because it'll start a war. But, you're young, you feel sophisticated, right, sophisticated, or however it's said, when you're carrying around Old Number 7 to a party, And then you get a little bit older and you bring Gentleman's Jack into the equation. That was me. And then, you know, off to Europe for a long time where we were stationed together and, you know, started to kind of get away from that and jump into beer because it was Germany.
You have to.
And,
you got Germany, you got Belgium, you got some of the greatest beers in the world. You have to.
Yeah. And it was hard to get what we wanted over there.
Yeah.
I mean, so come back to the States and that beer gets you though over there, right? You know,
I put on 20 pints in the first month. Drinking that Hefeweizen.
The Hefe and the Dunkels will get you. And the Belgian triples and doubles and quads will tag you pretty hard too. So I was looking to either quit drinking altogether. That wasn't going to happen, or find a more, gut friendly drink, belly friendly drink. So, you know, they're out of the clouds, the sky parted, and a bottle of whiskey fell into my hands. And that's really when, you know, when I got back into it. But I didn't start collecting until we reconnected. So, and then we played the bourbon and whiskey swap game for about almost a year.
Almost a year.
And it can get out of hand quickly, and it did. So, yeah, that's what got me in, you know, back into whiskey, bourbon specifically. And then I walked into rye, courtesy of you. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that Jim Howe from Liberty Bowl really introduced me to what real rye is, real PA rye whiskey, which I love. Liberty Bowl makes some of the best, I think, hands down in the world. I may be a touch biased, but fight me.
I'll say you're definitely a little bit biased.
Yeah, okay, fight me. Right?
You know, you're definitely a little bit biased, but they do make, they put out a phenomenal product. Yeah.
And there are other great ones, and I don't mean to knock any of the other ones. I will tell, you know, everybody that's listening that straight up, I'm a craft distillery lover now, more than I ever was in the beginning, because I appreciate the art that goes into what the local smaller distilleries do, right? I mean, they put their heart and soul into this. It's a craft. It's an art for them. And when you can take a sip and you can see the hard work that goes into that and taste it, it's just something special about it. Not to knock the big guys, because, I mean, Colonel E. H. Taylor makes a pretty doggone good rye.
Yeah.
But there's just something nice about knowing where you're getting your juice from. So, so that's how I got. That's how my walk started into whiskey overall. So, I'm not looking back. I tell you that much. Not after the amount of time and
money spent. Money spent.
Well, yeah, we try not to. We don't talk about Juno, right? We're not supposed to talk about Juno. So,
so with that said, I mean, you have a massive bourbon collection, and it's not just sitting on the shelves. I mean, you have people over all the time. Always good times, good pours, and it's became a great thing every weekend coming over here with a bunch of the guys, just having a few pours and just shooting the shit. But ever since COVID, I noticed a bigger bourbon boom where more and more people are getting into bourbon.
Yeah.
And we've had a few guys over here who aren't bourbon drinkers who are getting into bourbon because they're like, okay, I'm a little bit older now. I need to drink my age.
Right.
So even for the younger guys or the newer guys that are tapping into the bourbon whiskey environment, you know, for somebody just getting into bourbon, you know, not your typical bourbon, but, you know, if you had to say, okay, you know, why don't you try these and ease your way into bourbon, what type of bourbon would you suggest for somebody getting into bourbon?
All right, fair question. Man, I think that's a loaded question. I'm going to preface before I say anything else, and this is to literally speak kind of heart about whiskey, is that there's a saying that is pretty prevalent in the Pittsburgh Whiskey Friends group, and that is that whiskey is better with friends. So that's where I always come from when I you know, pour a drink. It's not about, oh, look at this bottle of X, Y, and Z, this $500 or whatever it all. It doesn't matter. It's the people you drink with and the memories you make and the stories you swap and the shit you talk.
Yeah.
So You know, I think for me, if I'm telling somebody that's just looking to get into bourbon, which reminds me of a story with the peated scotch, but to answer your question, I would say you start low proof. So if you said, you know, what could you tell somebody to try right away that's easy to find pretty much anywhere, I'd say Elijah Craig, small batch. It's affordable. It's a lower proof. But it's a good, it's a really good bourbon.
Yeah.
And if you are a nerd like me when it comes to bourbon, the history of Elijah Craig, the distillery Heaven Hill, where it comes from, the story behind it is pretty cool. I'd also say grab an Old Forester. I don't think you can go wrong with any of the Old Foresters, the 1920, the 1897, the 1910. They're affordable. They're easy to find, and they're a tried and true tested recipe, to be honest with you. Nobody wants to hear Jack Daniels thrown out, but
the Sinatra blend, I'll tell you what, I am not a Jack fan. I am 100% not a Jack fan. You put Jack in front of me, usually I'm like, no, thank you. I'll pass. I'm good. But when you poured me that Sinatra blend, the Sinatra Jack, that was probably one of the best whiskeys I've had. It's smooth, enjoyable. Didn't really leave that Kentucky kick, but it was still, absolutely phenomenal in my book.
So I like to tell people, Jack Daniel has two products out right now. They have the Bonded, and then they have the Triple Mash, and those are both really affordable, and they're good. They don't have that super banana taste that Jack Daniels is known for, but they're just well-rounded. So Elijah Craig, I don't think you can miss. Old Forester, Jack Daniels, Larceny, which is another Heaven Hill product. Now, Larceny is a little bit higher punch as far as proof goes, but they're good, and they're solid. They're easy to find. There are so many, but, you know, if you're talking about just something that you can just start to sip on, and start walking the walk into bourbon, I'd recommend that. What I don't recommend, and what I'm not going to rail against potato chasing, but if you get lost and getting caught up with, you know, the taters, you know, keeping up with the Joneses is what I call it. You know, I need to get the Blantons. I need to get the Eagle Rare. I need to get, you know, the Wellers. I need to get the Blood Oath. I think you lose a little bit of that joy.
The Blood Oath, though.
Okay, the Blood Oath.
You can't call it a Blood Oath a tater.
No. I like the Blood Oath. I like them all, but yes,
Blood Oath is one of the ones, yes, it's one of those everybody's seeking out for, but it's worth it.
Yeah, well, most of the packs.
Most
of the packs are worth it. Yeah, I guess, so my overall point is, like, enjoy whiskey for what it is. I can't imagine. So I would worry about myself if I drank this much whiskey alone. I mean, at some point, somebody would need to call. So thankfully, I'm married to a whiskey girl, and she's got her favorites. She would tell you probably, and we have to get her on one day and let the ladies talk about it. But she loves Penelope. She loves Pinhook. She loves Elijah Craig. That's where we have some commonality. I found that she loves everything that's really hard for me to go and find for her. She loves it. That's what I've started to notice. And everything expensive. That's what she really likes. Shocker, right?
Yeah.
So I would tell people, you know, take a gamble. Don't spend a lot of money. I didn't know for the longest time that I have a slight allergy to rye whiskey.
No shit.
And I don't know if I've ever even really brought it up, but I drink a sip of rye and my nose gets stuffy. And it took about a year of doing this, and I'm like, I might be allergic to something. I don't know if that's the case or not, but if it happens over and over again, you kind of 1 + 1 = 8, right? Or 2.
I mean, a stuffy nose, I mean, that's really not being allergic to something. Well, that's just being a big pussy, you know? Well, let's be honest.
Well, there's that. There's that. I mean, thanks, bud. I appreciate that. Yeah, so... But yeah, so try a lot. Don't go expensive. When you get your taste profile down, explore a little bit. But don't listen to people say you need to have this and you need to have that. I will tell you that, you know, I am going back now and fill, and kind of rounding out a collection with like benchmarks. The whiskey that some people may turn their nose up at because it's $20 a bottle and it's good.
Well, prime example. Last year we got into it pretty good. Woodford Reserve Double Oak.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that became for a while our one of our everyday pulls.
Yep. You could always find it.
Easy to find, reasonably priced.
Yeah. What? I think at the time it was like 50 bones, 60 bones.
Yeah.
Not bad. Good. Consistent. So that's the other thing is that, you know, consistency is important. You know what you want and you want to have it every time. Woodford Double Oak checks those boxes. I think you gamble a little bit when you go off with something wild. Now, I have an affinity, and so does my wife for the finished bourbon port. What are some of the other ones?
Cabernet,
Sauvignon. I can't even pronounce half of it because I'm a mutt. But you know these they're good, and I like them and I enjoy them. But I also think that if you start out with the basic bourbon, the basic whiskey, the basic rye, you get a kind of an appreciation for it, and then you can grow from there.
With that said, somebody brand new to whiskey bourbon, you tell them to go straight for rye, or try regular bourbon, and then try to lean yourself into rye because rye sometimes can be an acquired taste.
It can. It's spicier and peppier.
Yeah.
You know, pepperier.
Peppery. Pepper. And that's what I like. I like that little bit of pepper taste to mine.
I don't know. Hindsight 2020, I wish somebody had introduced me to rye more years ago.
Okay.
Because I find, especially when we smoke meats and we barbecue and we make dishes and stuff, and I mean, that's big for us. So come summertime, that smoker's rolling, the grill's blowing, and we're out there eating. You know, eating meat and smoking meat and drinking whiskey. I find that more ryes tend to complement what we cook than the bourbons to a degree. I mean, there are some just also. It's just like, you know, sometimes there's a certain bourbon or scotch you have for a cigar that you like.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, 100%.
I think, you know, so somebody asked me today on Facebook, they said, what's your top three bourbons or your top three whiskeys? And I'm like, I can't tell you that. I think it's a hard question to answer.
It depends what you're doing.
Yeah.
100%. It depends what you're eating, what you're smoking.
Yeah.
What type of meat you're in. You know.
Yeah, what time? Yeah, I mean, what's the weather out? I mean, there are times when we've come home and, you know, the crazy Pittsburgh, which is where we're at, the crazy Pittsburgh weather will be 70 degrees one day, and I want a tall pour of, you know, you name it, bourbon. And then it drops down to, you know, 15 degrees outside because apparently, you know, Pittsburgh is ADD with weather, and I want a scotch. It's the same thing. So nailing down what's my favorite, I think that's hard to do. And I also think it does a disservice to so many different companies and distilleries that put out
a great product,
yeah. Right? So, you know, I think it ebbs and flows. Now, I will say that I'm huge right now. I'm on this craft distillery kick, like the smaller distilleries. Love Liberty Pool. They got my heart. But Driftless Glen out of Wisconsin is one that they do some amazing stuff. Broken Barrel Bourbon. They're another one that's kind of doing some interesting stuff. There are other companies too, like Green River.
What was the pour I had earlier today when I first got over here?
So you had the Driftless Glen straight bourbon, which is their basic entry, and it's good.
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
Yeah,
it was really, and it had that Kentucky kick
you
were talking about. The first sip, I was like, "Whoa, this got a little bit of a kick to it," but you know, it was enjoyable.
They know what they're doing. You know, there are others, Middle West Spirits in Columbus, Ohio. They make some really creative whiskey. I bought three or four bottles from them, and the same can be pretty much said for every state's got probably a distillery where you've got dudes and dudettes that are just pouring their heart into this stuff, and they're making a great product. The one thing you can't, you know, substitute is time on whiskey, right?
No.
You can't substitute time, so. I like that these craft distilleries, a lot of them have drawn a line in the sand and they've said, we're not going to put that whiskey out until it reaches at least 4 years or 5 years or whatever. They don't want to compromise, and I think that that's huge in the industry right now, which is got to have it now.
Yeah.
Right, got to have it now. So, yeah, I definitely tell people enjoy it. Walk into rye if you can, because it opens up so many different doors and so many different types of whiskeys that are out there. If you expand your horizons, don't ignore America's single malt whiskey. That's going to become the next, I think, new big thing in America. And last but not least, don't knock Scotch. I mean, the Scots had it figured out long before we did.
You know what? You got me into Scotch, and I've never been happier.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that one. I was never a big Scotch guy. And I was like, God, that's too fancy, too expensive.
You want to pour a Bachmore?
No.
Okay. So you're not at the peated Scotch level yet?
Not the peated. You know, like I like my Delmore.
Yeah.
Delmore is usually my go-to. But that first pour of Delmore you gave me, I was hooked after that.
Yeah. Scotch is – so I fell back in love with Scotch, Balvenie. Dalmore, Glenlivet, and then I linked up with these guys. There's a group here in Pittsburgh called Boggers United, and they're a small group, but they're, man, these dudes in this group, their knowledge of bogger life or peaty whiskey, peaty smoky whiskeys from the Islay region in Scotland, they're an encyclopedia of like all this information. And normally you have to get walked into the peaty Scotch, right? Yeah. You just don't dive off and jump into it, but not me.
Yeah, when you give people Achtmore right off the bat, that turns them away.
Well, there's a backstory there. So the backstory is I asked how do I walk somebody into the bogger life, the peaty Scotch, and they said, listen, you go real small increments and not, you know, not the super peaty. And so I did that. I followed instructions because I'm an instruction guy. I follow instructions, kind of, sort of. But
then one day you woke up and was like, fuck it, Achtmore for everybody. I know you don't drink Scotch.
No.
Achtmore, here you go.
Not exactly. So our buddy Craig, who will be on the podcast because we got to have an army guy we can mess with, he was enjoying it. And then he got ballsy. And said, oh, pour me the Achtmore. This stuff's easy. So I poured him the Achtmore, and then he cried. So I'm leaving that right there. Now, with that said, bogger life, the peaty stuff is great, but you got to walk into it slow.
You definitely do got to walk yourself in. I mean, it's one of those things, you either, right off the bat, you either like the peat or you don't. If you don't, you definitely got to take it slow and build it up. Because I noticed more and more different pours you give me. It's like, all right, this one isn't too bad. This one is, all right, this one's actually enjoyable. And it's one of those things, you hand somebody that Achtmore, they're like, nope, no more Scotch.
I'll ever.
Stick with whiskey and bourbon.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, that is fair. I mean, we each have a different palate. I'm also always, I'm always pretty sensitive to not knocking a whiskey for being bad. Now, you know, we've had a couple. We don't talk about Juno.
We don't talk about it, but there's been a few bottles. We poured the complete bottle after the homies.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you got to tip it over for your boys. But yeah, so let me ask you the question then. What would be your top three that you'd recommend for somebody wanting to walk into the world of whiskey and bourbon and Scotch and rye and ASMs and...
Well, you know, my brother, not a big bourbon guy. He's a beer guy. He's getting more and more into bourbon. So the first one was one of the Penelopes, actually. You know, it's easy on the palate. It's enjoyable. He took that, enjoyed the Penelope. Then what was the barrel pick you guys did a couple months ago when you went down to Kentucky?
Oh, the Wilderness Trail. That was an excellent pick.
The Wilderness Trail, he really enjoyed. He was like, wow, this is real. And he's not a bourbon guy. He enjoyed the Wilderness Trail. And I'm biased. I like the peppery taste.
Yeah.
I would give somebody chicken cock. You know,
You're always trying to get somebody the cock.
I'm always trying to get somebody the cock. But the chicken cock, for me, it's enjoyable. Everybody I've had that's not big bourbon drinkers, I'm always like, try this, you'll enjoy it. Usually, for the most part, they actually really do enjoy the chicken cock. Mm. I don't throw the rye at them right away, but the regular chicken cock's pretty good. I enjoy the rye a little bit more. But everybody I've had who, you know, you see my place and it's chicken cock, chicken cock, chicken cock.
Oh, and EHT.
And EHT.
That used to be in your top.
Well, EHT used to be my... So the only reason I originally, years ago, started buying EHT was because we shared the same name.
Right.
And it was one of those, oh, shit, it's named after me. Got to drink it. But, yeah, the EHT. And then a backstory. I was out with a group of people. We were at place downtown in Pittsburgh called Butcher and the Rye. Mm. And the guy bought everybody a round of the Tornado Warehouse E.H. Taylor.
Yum.
I didn't realize how fucking expensive that shit was. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. This dude's buying a round for everybody.
On his and then I see, black card.
And then I seen the price and I was like, holy shit. I was like, I can't afford this. And I went to the, you know, small batch. And the regular E.H. Taylor, and I enjoy it. Yeah. But I wouldn't start somebody off with E.H. Taylor because that's something somebody, after you've been drinking bourbon a while, you'll
especially now it's harder to find.
And it's harder to find.
It's become more pain in the butt.
A couple years ago, you could find it, the E.H. Taylor, single barrel, just about anywhere.
Yeah.
I would definitely, Wilderness Trail, Penelope, and I hate to say it, Four Roses, Angel's Envy. Four Roses and Angel's Envy. Any bar you go to, you can usually find it.
Well, you remember, what was it, about a month and a half ago, I cracked that bottle of Angel Envy's Rye. And I had it on the bar for probably 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I never cracked it. And I don't like uncracked bottles in my bar.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I think it's kind of, I don't know, it's just gaudy. Looking so
well, it's funny now. Back to my brother, like, you know, we'll go out occasionally, and he knows I'm a bourbon drinker, whiskey drinker, and he tries to, you know what, I know what you drink. So, usually, you know, his go to, and it's usually standard at a lot of bars around here, the Angel's Envy or Four Roses. Yeah. And usually, hey, I got you a bourbon, you know, mm-hmm. And usually it's dive bars or small local bars, which is nice. He knows I like bourbon, and he'll actually have a pour, so we get to enjoy a pour together, which I appreciate. Yeah. I know he doesn't like bourbon. I know he's a beer guy. So the fact
we're going to get him there, though.
What's that?
We're going to get him there.
Oh, we'll get him there. We'll walk him there. We'll get him there.
We'll just deliver.
So he, like I said, he's been coming over more and more often, mm-hmm. and he knows I don't have beer in the house, so he knows it's nothing but bourbon or whiskey or scotch. And he knows, okay, what can I try that's new that I haven't had yet?
Yeah.
Which is actually enjoyable because it's like, okay, now you're diving into the bourbon
world. He's exploring a little bit.
He's exploring a little bit. Yeah. There's certain things he's like, don't like this. And I was like, that's fine. It's not for everybody. And then he's like, the Wilderness Trail was one of the ones where I was really shocked. He actually enjoyed it. He was like, that is a good fucking pour.
I'm telling you that. So it turned out the Wilderness Trail is a great distillery, and I was very lucky to be a part of the picking team that went down for the Pittsburgh Whiskey Friends group, and I think we picked a hell of a barrel, and talking with a lot of people in the group, they feel the same way. They felt like that was the best pick of 2023. Now I would say that. I love the Wilderness Trail pick, and I think we did a heck of a job. We had some amazing dudes with some amazing palettes down there, and it was fun to do. But the ladies of Pittsburgh Whiskey Friends did that Peerless Rye pick, and that Peerless Rye pick was a stunner. I mean, those ladies have palettes that are first class. I mean, they knocked out of the park. But the Wilderness Trail pick was great. Not a lot of people know about Wilderness Trail. They're big. They're big.
And until you got me that the barrel pick, I've never heard of them. I think I may have had a pour here or there at your place.
Yeah.
But it, you know, wasn't one of those ones I was reaching to on your shelves.
Yeah.
And then when you got me that barrel pick, I was like, this is good. I want to save this and enjoy this.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like...
Get conservative with it.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with that barrel pick. Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, I really hope, you know...
Don't run out.
Don't drink too much of this because I want to enjoy it.
No, I think everybody that enjoys whiskey, that just starts collecting like an idiot like we did, you get to that point where you start to get concerned because the bottle's almost gone and you don't know if you're going to be able to replace it.
Oh, yeah.
And so you get real conservative.
Well especially when you get those barrel picks.
Yeah.
We did that tasting over at Liberty Pool.
Mm.
And I'll tell you what, there's a couple barrels like, shit, let me empty my bank account and buy the whole damn barrel because that's something I want to hold hostage.
You don't want to share. No share.
Don't want to share.
You don't want to share with anybody.
I'll share with my friends, but other than that, I would charge asinine prices. it would become a tater because it was like, this is that damn good.
Yeah. And it's tough too because when whiskey is that good, I love sharing whiskey with you guys. You guys are family. But, you know, bring anybody in, come over to the house, come down and grab a drink. I don't really care. It's one pour. It may be the one pour that, you know, turns somebody on to this and they buy a bottle and they share it with me and I'm having a bad day and, you know, they end up, you know, let me dump on them. You know what I mean?
Well, that's like a couple months ago. I brought Matt over.
Not a
bourbon guy at all. Not a whiskey guy. Complete beer guy. And we put him onto some good bourbon, and he's still, you know, I just got this bottle. I just got that bottle. Like, this is some good shit.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Always
I was like,
better with friends.
Welcome to the bourbon world.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I mean, it's funny because now we take this and we talk about it, you know, on a podcast, and hopefully there's somebody that's going to be like, all right, I'll take a walk. And, you know, maybe these knuckleheads that are talking to us are maybe they're onto something, or maybe we're just a bunch of idiots. I mean, that's probably a safer bet. But
no, people are going to bash us.
Yeah,
really, Wilderness Trail, really, Liberty Pole, really.
I will be the first one, and I've always been consistent with this. I'm anti-tater. Now,
there's a couple taters.
I have taters in the collection, but I'll be the first guy to mix a Pappy with Mountain Dew. Because it's just...
I've seen you do that just to piss people off. Because
Listen, it's great bourbon.
It's good bourbon.
But it's not great bourbon at 1,000 Bones.
Yeah.
There's not much out there that I would drink at 1,000 Bones and find enjoyment in. Well...
And I hate to say it, Colonel Taylor...
The Tornado Batch, maybe.
Tornado Warehouse.
I mean, like, if I was bleeding money, you know, that's different.
Yeah, but if I could piss money away.
I mean, for a normal guy who wants to just have a little collection and enjoy his whiskey, I'm gonna say it. It's going to hurt some feelings. You're not getting that dollar differential when you buy that stuff, especially at secondary. Now, if you score at retail, brothers and sisters, drink it.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy it. It's great. But I just can't do the tater chase. Now, that's with bourbon. There are some scotches out there that I have been introduced to by the Boggers oh my gosh, it's like drinking tears from heaven.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything about it. So I'm purposely, I try to be ignorant with the peated scotch. I don't want to be knowledgeable because I want to just be a childlike.
No, you don't need to dive into another.
I'll just let other people tell me that this is good, and I'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. You know, we talk about the podcast, and this is our initial one, and I mean, we may fall flat on our face, but if you could choose three guests to have on here, we're going to have some guests on here, and we're going to have fun because you know we can get quite rowdy. But if you could take three people, I want your three people, and why? Who's your number one?
I'm number one.
Wow.
So I want to tell there's going to be a tie for number one.
You can't have a tie for number one. There's only one number one.
No, there's going to be a tie. There's going to be a tie because it would have to be a coin flip.
Then flip a coin.
I can't flip a coin. It would either have to be Bill Murray, because you know that dude parties.
Oh, that's a good pick.
You know he parties, yeah. And he would have some crazy-ass stories.
Yeah. That would get rowdy quick.
Yeah.
That would get rowdy quick.
It would get completely crazy. And number two, White Man Can't Jump.
Woody
Harrelson.
Okay.
Woody Harrelson. Because that's another dude that loves to party.
Yeah.
Both ways. If you know what I mean, and I'm not talking about that, but he likes to have a good time.
Yeah.
But I'm sure both of those people, good stories, good conversations. Yeah. I haven't seen either one of them on a lot of podcasts, and I think it would be an all-out fun podcast. Number two, a lot of people might knock this.
You did already. You just had two people.
No. That's time.
Oh, that's number
one.
Code number one?
Code number one.
We're tying for shit now.
We're tying. We're tying. Right. You know, I like European football.
So you're going to get four people. Who's your number two?
Number two, a lot of people might not like this, but I'm going to go with Master P. Master P, I'm an older guy. You know, I grew up in the 90s. You know, No Limit Studio, No Limit Soldiers. They were putting out albums every other week. They were putting out movies constantly. Mm-hmm. This dude... His ventures and how he took off and his story. That's one guy I'd love to just sit down and have a drink with, just shoot the shit and hear some good stories, you know, because he even played in the NBA for a little bit.
Did he really?
A lot of people forget he played for the, I believe it was the Toronto Raptors back in the day when they first.
No joke. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. I mean, this dude could have done anything he wanted. And I think honestly, like, He'd be a phenomenal guest.
That'd be cool. Okay. I can see that.
Number three. I would definitely want to go with an athlete. You know?
Really?
It is what it is.
So what athlete?
And that's the hard thing. Because so many, like, I'd love to have Shaq, but Shaq, you know, he's constantly on a podcast, and all the stories you hear about Shaq. You know, genuinely good dude.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a big drinker. You know,
he'd probably drink dry.
Yeah, he would probably drink all the bourbon in this place. But all the stories I've heard over the last couple of years about Larry Bird. You know, Larry Bird is a country boy.
Yep.
Country boy, you know.
French lick.
French lick, you know, great white hype, and he was no hype. He was the truth.
He was an assassin.
And the fact that you have a guy say, really, you're going to have a white guy guard me?
That's balls.
And all the trash talking he did and what he did with the Celtics.
That was the best era of basketball.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
I think I
could get down with that.
Because I can see Barry just, you know, sitting back, talking shit, and, you know, he probably talked shit about the both of us and talk trash. I think it'd be a good time. What about you?
Ooh. So I'll preface this. I'm not a fanboy. I've never been a like super fan person of anybody. But I will tell you, my number one, Jelly Roll. I know people are going to be like, what?
Why Jelly Roll?
Why? Because he's a fat dude like me. So I got respect for that. Dude's got pipes on him. And I tell you what, his story, though. So to me... So much about whiskey is a story, right?
Okay.
And Jelly Roll, you know, he's got a story, man. I think you know, he's an artist and he sings. But if you've ever heard him do the off interviews and stuff, and just the authenticity of who he doesn't hide behind what he is, who he is, where he's from, the mistakes he's made. He embraces it. There's something kind of refreshing about a dude that's like straight up accountable. For who he is, right? Yeah. He's accountable. And he walks the walk on the path that he is on. And I think that if there's anything that I remember most, like, seeing in the news, and, I mean, how I'm pretty much paid to watch news and wait for something, you know, to go wrong, was him testifying in Congress. You remember this?
Yes.
And him reaching behind and grabbing his wife's hand because he was so nervous. And you don't do that. Right, you don't do that unless you're so confident who you are that you're okay being vulnerable in that moment, and you can hear it when he sings, I mean, he's got some pipes. The dude blows, man. He's his songs are good. I would like to sit down, and I know it. I bet you cash that he could drink.
I guarantee he could drink.
I bet you could. So
I guarantee he'd be like, okay, I want a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I know he'd appreciate the brisket that I pulled out the smoker. I just got a feeling because us big guys, we like our meat. Yeah. Smoke meats. Don't go there. I think Jelly Roll be my number one. Number two, this is another musician, Post Malone.
Post Malone.
Post Malone.
Why Post?
The dude.
I mean, he puts out good music.
He's all over the place.
Some of the movies he's been in, I just watched Roadhouse last night, the remake.
Oh, he's in that?
He had a cameo. Oh. He had a little cameo. When he was in Spencer, it's like, all right, this dude can do movies too, not only sing.
So why Post Malone? Because he's a musical genius. He is literally a musical genius.
Well, he went viral just throwing something on SoundCloud. That's a great story.
Another dude, this to me, I think the older I get, the more comfortable I get in who I am as a man. I think... So I tend to gravitate toward these people that are younger, because all these cats are younger than us now. We're old balls now.
I don't know. I said Bill Murray, Woody Harrelson, Bird.
Listen,
Master P. They're all a little bit older than us.
Maybe maybe Master P. Hopefully. So I gotta appreciate a dude that just he owns who he is. I wonder what the record label must say to Post Malone, like, hey, you can't do country. Because I bet the moment if they said that to him, he was like, get bent. I'm going to go do country.
Well, have you seen some of the covers he's done?
Yeah.
Like, he does a lot of, like, old classic rock covers, and he nails it every time.
The dude's range, the dude's vocals, his musical talent, but the way that he's handled what's been thrown his way, especially with when he was larger, and then he lost all that weight. He handled that with class in the media. And I think a lot of famous people, it goes to their head, you know, really quick. And you can get really ugly with how you respond. You didn't see that. He puts on a hell of a concert. His albums are, I mean, you put on a Post Malone mixtape and you could be doing hip hop, R&B, country, and damn opera, all in a 40-minute drive down the highway. Yeah. So, I just think he'd be fun to party with, and you hand him a guitar, which I've always got a guitar here, and I hand it to him and be like, "Come up, let's freestyle," because I bet he would make it fun. So that'd be my number two. My number three, man, that's a tough one. I have to go with D-O-double-G, Snoop Dogg. There is probably not a more influential person to my generation, our generation, than Snoop, Dre, Tupac, Biggie.
Master P.
Master P. those guys. I mean, it's D-O-double-G, dog. I mean, you can't. There's just how many people?
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart.
Snoop hanging out with Martha Stewart.
When they did the Super Bowl, how many middle-aged dudes were in their living rooms, crip walking? Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a generation thing. My kids know all of the Dre and the Snoop work. They're 7 and 11. And if I put on Snoop Dogg right now, they'll come down crip walking and dropping that beat.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
Well, the best is, if you've seen his Animal Planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
His Animal Planet voiceovers, that shit is absolutely hilarious.
He's funny. He's obviously smart and savvy.
I'm not a big reggae guy. You know, I listen to all genres of music. But even when he dropped that reggae album, I was like, man, this is fucking good. Like I need to go to Jamaica.
I appreciate authenticity. And there's a guy that just uncompromised, right? I mean, he's put it and albums. He spits it. It was a soundtrack of our youth to a large degree. I mean, as much as big as Boyz II Men was for us growing up, I mean, Dre and Stu.
Well, here's the kicker. I'm going to go back to Master P. Snoop was a No Limit soldier.
All right.
The Dogfather.
No, you're right. I mean, but if you think about it, without Dre and Snoop.
Oh, yeah.
Will we have Eminem?
No.
Will we have 50?
No.
We would have 50.
No.
So, I mean, so much of what they did that kind of just defined that generation. I mean, I'm a 90s kid. Well, we graduated in the 90s.
Yeah,
I mean, we're going to talk about the specific year because I don't need to hear about it from anybody. But yeah, I mean that was our time, and that was a soundtrack to our life. I mean, I remember deploying for the first time and thumping Snoop through my headphones, my Sony Discman.
but screw that! It was 2008, 2009. I was still in Iraq, and we were still like I had young kids. And we were still bumping Dre Day, The Chronic, you know, Snoop Dogg.
The whole generation, Tupac, Biggie. This morning, we're on the way to work. Jennifer and I, we're in the car. You know, we're tired. It's early. And all of a sudden, Notorious B.I.G. came on, Hypnotized.
Oh, yeah.
And that intro came on. We're down. We almost had to pull off the interstate.
Anybody into the age of 30?
Yeah.
Any of those artists, as soon as the beat drops, you already know. It's like you perk up and you're like, oh, shit, it's about to go down.
So, yeah, so that would be my top three. I would take any of the people we talked about, I'd take them on in a heartbeat. That'd be doing us a favor, right?
But, yeah, 100%.
But that would be fun beyond fun. But,
yeah.
But yeah. So, you know, who knows? Maybe we have fun with this. And I know we're going to have some guests on here lining some people up. We got some ideas. We want to showcase some groups, some Facebook groups that are real good. Expose more people to the world of whiskey.
And once we get deeper into it, it's going to be more bullshitting. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about whiskey. But we're going to bullshit more than anything.
Yeah.
Speaking of bullshit, have you seen The Juice Is Loose? And I'm not talking about OJ. Have you seen The Juice Is Loose? And I'm talking about...
Is that Beetlejuice?
The Beetlejuice trailer drop.
Okay, yeah.
Have you seen that?
No, but I want to... Man, that's a throwback. Who's playing Beetlejuice?
Michael Keaton, from what I heard. And from what it looked like. I mean, you really can't tell with the makeup, but it looks like Michael Keaton...
Who played it originally?
Michael Keaton.
Really?
Yeah, Michael Keaton was Beetlejuice.
Oh, that's right. And what was his name?
Renota Ryder.
I can't say her name.
Yeah, Renota White.
Yeah, she was a little girl.
It got that the young talent that played in Wednesday on the Netflix. What is her name? It's going to
I just think about the dance.
I think it's Jenna Ortega. Something like that. But I mean, it looks like a perfect fit.
Oh,
I watched
awesome.
The trailer this morning. And the thing I loved about the trailer, it didn't give anything away. It didn't. All you seen was at the end, Beetlejuice pop up, and the juice is loose.
I mean,
I'm like, okay, little throwback from when we were growing up.
So everybody, there you go. The juice is loose. You need to put that on your calendar for all you middle aged persons like us.
What worse is this young generation is going to watch it and be like, oh, if you've seen Beetlejuice.
I'm like, brah.
Brah. You don't know nothing about Beetlejuice.
No, come on. Don't come to me with that. Yeah. So that's something to look forward to. Maybe we ought to name this episode, The Juice is Loose. I say Juice is Loose.
We talked a lot about juice tonight.
We
drank a lot of juice tonight.
I'm
that's for
loose,
sure.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say The Juice is Loose.
We'll get down with that.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the new Beetlejuice.
Yeah. No, that's not something that's got to go on the list. So.
I haven't been to the movie theater in a while, but that's one of those things.
You still go to movie theater?
I'll tell you what, it's probably been December. December was the last time I went to the movies.
It's been like 2011, bro.
Yeah.
Germany was the last movie I went to. It was in Germany.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. When Beetlejuice comes out, I'll be the first in line.
Tub of popcorn.
$12.
$28.
$28. Large drink, $12.
Rolling there for a hundo.
Yeah.
Well, sweet, man. Listen, to everybody listening, we appreciate you hanging in with us tonight and checking out this initial episode. We look forward to your feedback. So if there's a topic you want us to mess around with, we kept it kind of PG-ish.
For the most part, we talked a lot about whiskey tonight, which, you know, that's not going to be our typical podcast.
We'll dive into whiskey and what we're drinking every time, but we won't spend a ton of time on it. We look forward to getting your topics. You want to hear us talk about sports? You want our view on something? Careful when you ask.
Oh, sport, Kentucky. Kentucky losing first round, NCAA.
To Oakland.
To Oakland.
That's what I'm talking about. There we go.
So Oakland, a zero-star recruit that hit the transfer portal, 10 three-pointers on Kentucky.
That's what's up.
I even knocked out by Oakland.
Hey, mess around.
Find out.
Anybody can catch hands on any day. So, yeah, let us know, guys, what you want to hear. Definitely want to put on a good show for you, so hit us up with those topics and do us a favor. If you can, like us on Instagram and Facebook. Jason LeFave's Facebook and Dan Taylor on Facebook. Till next time, stay surfing, my friends, and cheers to you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Bullets and Bourbon. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.